Welcome, welcome, sisters, again to Return of the Priestess. It is, as always, an honor and a joy to have you with us. And our conversation today feels very close to my heart. I'm very excited to share with you the wisdom of a wisdom elder on the topic of balancing masculine energies. But before we get there, let us take a moment to connect in with each other and with our own selves by grounding and centering with a few breaths. So if it's safe to do so, you can go ahead and close your eyes. I'm going to close my eyes. And I invite you to place one hand on your womb space and one hand on your heart space. And together around our beautiful Mother Earth, let us take a breath in, giving ourselves permission to fully receive the breath and get present with each other. And then exhaling to release that which does not serve us now. And again, breathing in, really filling yourself with air, letting that be your centering focal point. And exhaling to deepen into your present moment awareness, extending your energetic feelers out to the sisters all around this earth, sharing this experience now. Breathing in and exhaling. Beautiful. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. As I said, our conversation today is finding the balance with the masculine. And it is an honor to bring to you a wisdom elder from New Zealand. So I'm going to share with you her bio and do my best at not hacking up her name. We've been practicing it before we started recording. So Moetu Taiha is a descendant from the Ngai Tuhuai and the Kahununu tribes of Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Great.
Thank you. She works with women in their cellular systems to help them release trauma in the memory and scar tissue of all of our levels of being, the emotional, the mental, the etheric, and the physical levels. And she also leads retreats and works in the spiritual realms with the loved ones on the other side of the veil. And we are ready to have a really beautiful conversation with you today. So welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, kia ora, Dawn. Kei te mihi, kia koe. Me koutou katoa, nā wahine, nā o te ao. O tēnei ata o New Zealand. Kei te mihi. So greetings to you, Dawn, and to all who join us at this time.
Thank you. Now, we had a pretty potent conversation before we went to the record here. So I'm eager to dive into this. It's very close to my heart, the balancing of the masculine. I mean, we cannot do this alone. And this series is dedicated to the rise of the divine feminine. It's a global feminine activation. And that is not because we are leaving the brothers behind. I wanted to start with a quote that I was jotting down as you were speaking earlier. You said, until we can find the balance within men, with men, and the masculine within ourselves, we really cannot be complete. So I just want to open the conversation by diving in there. And I do want to also touch on your background, but since I started with this, let's just go there first. Would you speak into a little bit about what you see from your experience and perspective on this issue of the imbalance between the masculine and the feminine, and what's arising right now to be healed and witnessed?
Yeah, my understanding from the loved ones and is that we're coming to a time where we're really having to work together with our men, with our physical counterpart. The problem is that if we don't have a strong masculine energy inside ourselves, or understanding ourselves also as masculine, and we're really dependent or find that power of being feminine within ourselves, we don't see it in our masculine counterpart. If we're too much, what I understand, what I've seen, what I've experienced, and what I'm being told by the loved ones is that if we don't have that energy of strong feminine self, and also knowing that this is what I need as a feminine within myself, and if I haven't got it in myself, I can't see it out there. If I don't recognize that masculine self within me, I'm not going to see it out there.
Yeah.
So, and this is what I'm really helping women to understand, that a lot of women are looking for men to look after them or to do for them. But if you can't do for yourself, they're never ever going to be able to meet your requirement or to do for you if you don't know what it feels inside yourself to be able to look after yourself.
Yeah. You know, another thing I've seen too with the younger generations is the opposite, which is women using the masculine model of, say, climbing the corporate ladder, for example, and a deep disconnect from their feminine energies, which sets off an equally wonky unbalance.
Yeah, true. And it is, but that wasn't only in the young generation, that was a lot in our generation too. I mean, I saw it with my mum, I saw it with my grandmother. And it's also about the understanding that we looked after our men. My whole knowing, it's a knowing, it's intrinsic knowing that always been wars right through. And so the men would go off to war and they were either killed or they came back broken. And so the woman, while the men were off fighting, the woman took over all the roles of the household, having to be the carer, the nurturer, the provider. And when the men did come back, if they came back, they came back more broken. Mm-hmm. And so the mothers had to really keep going in that role. But not only did they have to look after their family, they also had to look after a broken husband in a lot of ways. And And then they taught the daughters to look after the brothers. And the mothers were also busy looking after the sons because they didn't want them to be hurt or to carry on the name or to whatever role that men had to do. But the mothers cherished the sons. They looked after the sons to grow them up. And the sisters were also encouraged to look after their brothers, make sure they're well. Keep them, you know, fit and healthy. But mentally and emotionally, they didn't grow. You know, they didn't, and spiritually, they grew physically, and with their needs being met. So, but the girls became stronger providers again. So, sorry, any men that are being threatened if they're watching this, but it's true. And so a lot of times we grew up and we married men that we wanted them to be more. But how could they be? How can they be? And so we as women, we lowered our expectations. We lowered who we were and what we were able to do in a lot of ways. Our kids now, they won't do that. And because we, who are awake to this, are saying, hey, no, get out there and do what you need to do. And also, too, we're encouraging our sons to also to get out and do. But I don't know if it happens in your culture, but in our culture, there's no mask. There is. But in the house, the boys do the dishes. They have to look after the babies just as much as the daughters do. Our girls have to get out there and chop the wood and mow the lawns and all of that. And I know in a lot of Indigenous cultures, it's the same. Because it's a blended thing, yeah? It's growing both sides of you.
Yeah, yeah. So there is, so in your culture, there's a balance in that way.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so this is a really interesting picture, a perspective that you're sharing. Now, I have my perspective that I've seen from my culture and my roots and my studies about the reasons why there's been such an imbalance, and that's a longer conversation than we can have right now. But you're offering like a really interesting perspective about the way things like war have set up for women to dominate in the household such that men actually become sort of emotionally stunted, certainly, even if they go out to make the money or have the job. Traditional. So, but I'm also hearing you say that actually today that with more conscious parenting, there's a way for that to shift.
Yeah.
That parents are not doing that as much. Is there anything like in terms of the sisters who will be listening to this, which again, they'll be multicultural, multi-ages, different generations. What awareness do we need to bring into our own selves and into our inner relationships with men, whether they're brothers, husbands, sons, fathers, that could really facilitate this rebalancing?
Actually, it all has to be in self. It has to be inside self first. Mm-hmm. If you can't, everything is back inside. Mm-hmm. We have to understand who we are first and what our purpose is here for, what we're here for to do. Because, yeah, when you can understand who you are yourself and what your needs are, what my needs are, and how do I fulfill them? How do I nurture myself? How can I take care of myself? Then I can apply it out there. I can see. Okay, I'm not in a relationship anymore. And the last relationship was a really it was a big lesson for me, in that it made me grow and understand myself a lot more. A lot of people say, but he did this to you and he did that to you and blah, blah. I said, but when I really looked at it, it's like, yeah, he did, but I learned. I learned who I was. I learned where I was. I didn't have that lesson before. So it's made me grow. It made me understand what I needed in my life that only I could fulfill. It made me go inside myself to look for that, to look to see where it came from, what that was. And so that really made me thankful.
Yeah.
For everything that I'd been through, because my understanding is nobody does anything to you. Yeah, of course he did, and they do, but we also have to understand that people come into our lives to teach us lessons. And if we're willing to go inside to look for what is the hurt, what is causing that hurt, why it's come up, then we grow more. And so I think, man, I really love that about me. I really love this part of me, and I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm not going to accept that type of behavior. You know, this is who I am now, and this is what I want. And if you're not going to be that person for me, then get out of the way. Because there's somebody behind that hopefully can match. And I'm not just talking relationships, of not just about a partner, but also about friends, about jobs, about anything that comes into your life. Because when we talk about the masculine and the feminine, it's not just me and my husband or partner or love. It's about anything that you draw in. So what part of you is attracting that?
This is high level sort of spiritual mastery, I would say, when everything that we experience, we take in full ownership of. Yeah. And so thank you for sharing this. Yeah, it's not about what they did to me, even though on the 3D level of things, it feels that way. You could say, well, this, you can point to all the 3D stuff. And the truth is, when we see the gift in it, we go, wow, this is the thing. This is the fire that forged the sword of my truth.
The thing is, you know, when you've been hurt, you only learn your lessons from being hurt, you know. if you've never ever been hurt, then how do you learn? You cry, you know, take all that, you know, you want to kill them, you want to knock them over, you want to run them over, you know, you let it come in your body, you feel it. It's about feelings. It's about letting everything in your body have its way. It's about, this is a whole, our bodies are amazing. Yeah.
But it shows us everything that's really going on.
For sure.
Beautiful. Well, we talked about now having you share an experience to help us with the centering, I think it was, right? And while this isn't necessarily specific to the masculine and the feminine, in a sense it really is. So I thought I would just mute myself and let you tell us a little bit about this, because what you shared with me was really interesting, and that you do this every night. And invite us through the experience as a way for us to connect with some of this wisdom that you're sharing.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I work a lot with my loved ones. I call them the loved ones. They're my guides and my ancestors, the archangels, angels. So I, instead of just naming them, I just call them all the loved ones. My time is more with them than with live people. And so during the day, I live my day. But at night, before I go to sleep, I shut down by having a prayer. And I say that I leave the today in today. I'll think about something, and then I consciously ask the loved ones to leave it there, and that I can work with it maybe if it's important in dream time. But so that at night when I'm in dream time or working in other dimensions or whatever, I'm there doing that, not doing today's stuff and yesterday's stuff or the other yesterdays. And then in the morning, I wake up and then I have a centering, which I always do. And I want to take you through this. It's a connection to the God force. So we'll start now. So if you just close your eyes, and imagine the universe, however it is for you. I consciously go up to the God force, to the universe, to the God force. And then I imagine a golden pyramid starting to build from there, from the God force. And I come down from the God force to my soul star, to my higher self, to my crown chakra, to my third eye, to my throat chakra, to my thymus, to my heart chakra, to my solar plexus, to my belly button, to my sacral, to my base chakra, to Gaia, and then to the core of Mother Earth and the six-pointed star. From Mother Earth and the six-pointed star back up to Gaia, back up to my base chakra, back up to my sacral, to my belly button, to my solar plexus, to my heart chakra, to my thymus, to my throat chakra, to my third eye, to my crown chakra, to my highest self, to my soul star, and back up to God, God force, Goddess force, in my center, all that I am presence. From my heart chakra, I ground up into the heavens, to the God force, down through all my chakras to the God Goddess, to the Mother Earth, and the six-pointed star, and back up to my heart chakra with all the colors of the rainbows spinning up into the universe and down into Mother Earth with the golden light of the pyramid. And so it is.
And so it is. Beautiful. Thank you.
So this I do every day, and I leave it. I just leave it there, and with the understanding that that is my protection. Whatever happens through my day, is I just class it for my highest good, for my growing, regardless. But I always have the understanding that I'm covered. I have the loved ones with me. Well, I am my loved ones. This is the other thing. I totally understand that I am my ancestors. Everything that they did, it's me.
Yeah. So calling in all of their wisdom is really calling back your own, in a sense.
Myself.
Their skills. Yeah. Gifts. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much. And now, if women would like to get in touch with you, how can they connect with you? How do they find you?
I have a website, Moitu Taiha. It's there. I think my email is on there also. Yeah.
Great. Good. And hopefully once the quarantine of movement is opened up, you host retreats as well, right? So they can find out about your retreats. And do you do virtual one-on-one work with clients?
Yeah, I do. And we've started on Zoom now.
Great.
Mainly because there's a lot coming up at the moment. Yeah. A lot of relationships that are splitting. That's what I'm getting a lot of.
Yeah, there certainly my experience in my own circles of priestesses and starseeds, light workers, sister and brother friends, as well as the women I'm interviewing in this series, we are so activated right now and really in demand, our work and our tools, everything we've been preparing for, for this and other lifetimes. It's like, now, here we go. This is it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, thank you again so very much for being with us. I really appreciate you taking the time and for sharing some of your wisdom. And may you be well. And sisters who have been on this call, thank you for listening. May you receive fully these blessings. And if you have any questions, you can certainly leave them in the Facebook group, and we can continue this conversation further there. And stay with us for other calls. And for now, I'm going to sign off. So many blessings to everyone, and thank you.
Kia ora. Kia ora. Kei te mihi. Kei te mihi ka koutou katoa.